Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We're here with a very special guest, Christopher, and I apologize if I mispronounce this, Otrowski. Christopher has actually done a lot of unique things that we're going to get into tonight that we haven't really discussed a lot on Paranormal Truth and Reality until now, from alternative medicines to practices that date back quite a few years, actually, hundreds of years in some cases, all the way up to Reiki itself and how this applies to the paranormal. Welcome to the show, Christopher. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I started my journey, I guess you'd say, back when I was a child. I grew up in Pennsylvania Dutch country. I'm still living in that area. And my great-grandmother and some of the other older ladies in the neighborhood used to talk about powwow medicine, which is a form of old Pennsylvania German folk medicine. And it's based on Christianity. There's a lot of things in there that have to do with the Psalms and a little bit of Kabbalah stuff thrown in there too. And the more I researched it and got help from her and basically a start into it, I traced it a little bit back into more of the old pagan German beliefs. And I found that very interesting, you know, that there was a break somewhere where Christianity no longer or didn't play a part in it, that it went back way further. And, you know, no offense to anybody that's Christian or anything else. I mean, I tried to find the roots, which is like my problem is when I try to find something, I look past what I found and dig deeper. I was a mechanic for 30-some years. I guess that has a lot to do with it because I don't take what's on the surface as being the original cause or the original problem. So I look deeper. Just like an oil leak. Oil leaks just don't come from the outside of an engine. There's something on the inside that's leaking. So that's how I approached the things that I have learned. It's like I'm dug deeper into more of the origins of where this was coming from. And from there, I just kind of went out into the older Nordic, Germanic, Slavic parts of my roots and studied the different kinds of folklore and the different kinds of folk magic and everything like that that pertained to that. Back to powwow medicine, that's it's kind of a misnomer. That implies that it has to do with Native American stuff. Well, kind of. When the Amish settled over here, they interacted with the American, you know, the American natives, and they found, being that they were not a warlike people, the Amish, they were pacifists. They became close to the Native Americans and how they used the land and how they used things. And, you know, some of the things that they used over in Germany, they couldn't use over here because it is native to this country. So they learned from the natives the different roots and the different herbs and things that were grown here that would have the same effect as the stuff over that they had in Germany. There was also an influence there when the Underground Railroad started. The Amish were against slavery, and they were also part of the Underground Railroad. There's places all over here that are historic sites because they have rooms in there where they used to hide slaves on their way through the railroad. So along with the slaves coming here, they also learned some of the hoodoo that they believed in and some of the practices that they used. So it's kind of a whole big mishmash of different beliefs that are thrown together.
Interesting.
So that's, like I said, that's where I started. And from there, I just branched out into other things.
Well, you brought up a very interesting thing to talk about early on, though. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize this. Christianity is a unification of multiple different religions. If you ever do any research in theology, listeners, you're going to learn this out. Most theologists do understand this, though it's broken off into different factions. Before Christianity, there were a lot of individual beliefs. Those individual beliefs had unique techniques in healing. They used a lot of different herbs, and they had a lot of rituals involved in this as well. So most people don't look past the unification. Unification was a unique situation, and we won't get into religious beliefs because it's not really what the show is about. It was a unique situation, but before that, there were a lot of cultures that did a lot of different things that were very unique in themselves. And that's a very good point to actually bring up, Christopher, because I don't think a lot of people understand that. A lot of people stop at the modern religion today. They just kind of stop at the modern religion today, and they don't realize that many of these cultures, the Celtic, the pagan, and dozens of others, were in existence way before a unification of the religions that we actually follow mostly today, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but yeah, there's so much out there that happened before. I mean, you're going back, you know, unification. I mean, even if you just go back to, you know, the Jewish religions and when Christianity started 2,000 years ago, I mean, things were going on before that. I mean, everything just didn't start 2,000 years ago. There was a whole civilization way before that happened. I mean, we're going back to cave drawings that people did things different. I mean, some of the oldest things that they found, the one that comes to mind is the Venus of Willenberg. They found in Germany, they found in a cave that is basically a very large naked woman, which is extremely endowed. And she's believed to be the first idol that people ever prayed to. And she was the original goddess, so to speak, because that's what people knew. I mean, people knew what was around them, and that's what they based all their beliefs on. You know, and you see the large, you know, say the overweight woman that was head of the tribe, the older woman, whatever, and that was a sign of abundance. I mean, that was a sign of, you know, of knowledge, of fertility, because we don't know how many kids she had, how many people she brought into the world. You know, that's what they based their religion on, what they could see in front of them. You know, the trees, the birds, the ground, you know, this was all things that gave life to them. And this is where all the original religions came out of, beliefs came out of that, you know, that was where everything was. So you would go back to everything there in order to hunt better, to bring rain, to heal the sick. You know, everything was there right in front of you. You just had to go get it. You know, so that's where all the religion basically came out of. It came out of the earth. You know, it
well,
came
at one
out
point,
of,
at one point, things advanced to gods, but gods were seen as different things before they unified into one god like most people talk about today. For instance, if you actually look here in the United States as an example, the Mud Glyph Caves, which is one of the earliest glyphs that was ever found on Native American land, talks about some of the Native American history that gets lost. During that period in time, their gods were animals because they were simplified. They needed to hunt, they needed to eat, and they needed to survive. So a lot of times you saw the sun, you saw animals, and you saw plants as a part of their gods and their beliefs and their religions, because the plants healed, the animals fed or ate them, and the sun kept them warm.
Mm-hmm. And they studied the animals. Just like my namesake, you know, I generally go by Papa Coyote. That's what most people know me as. And that goes back to experiences that I had. And I found out that my one spirit animal is a coyote. I mean, that's my main spirit animal. That's what follows me through life. And if you study a coyote, some of the background on the coyote god is the coyote spirit is he learns from his mistakes, and he also learns from his own follies. You know, it's like you have to be able to laugh at yourself. You can't take yourself seriously. And through your mistakes, you have to learn. Otherwise, you will keep repeating your mistakes. And if you watch a coyote, whether at play or whether hunting, they look kind of foolish. I mean, they jump up into the air and dive through the snow to get their food. Well, you figure to a person that you know, doesn't understand, you know, how they use audio tech, you know, searching to find the food. And I mean, that looks kind of ridiculous that there's something out there jumping up into the air and diving into the snow. So that's how they based a lot of their stuff on was watching the mannerisms of things. I mean, they spent a lot of time studying what was happening around us, and we lost that. I mean, when things became unified, we lost all that. We lost all that from looking at the world and seeing it as it really is. I mean, there's a thing around here. I don't know about other parts of the country, but here my great-grandmother always told me that you can tell if it's going to rain by looking at the trees. And I was like, kind of, you know, how do you mean? And if the leaves look like they're upside down. And if you look at a tree when the rain is coming, the leaves don't look shiny. They look kind of flat. They have like a matte look to them. Now, that was a belief that the leaves turned upside down. Now, we know leaves don't turn upside down, but the top looked like the underside, that matte, flat look that side of the leaves had. It would get that appearance on top. Now, granted, it's an optical illusion, but it's that thing that nobody else knows anymore. You know, you don't look at that and know these things. People can't look at the sun and tell you what time it is. No, I've run into people that are supposedly witches and other things, and they can't tell me which direction is which. Now, how can you not know which direction you're going? If you can see the sun, how can you not know?
You do run into a lot of that.
I actually met
many survivalists. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Christopher. I apologize. So I met many survivalists that can tell me the time of day through the sun and the nature and so forth, and even tell me the direction. But the average individual, if you stick them out in the middle of a woods, I don't think they'd really know what to do.
And that's a shame. You know, we're missing so much of what's going on in the world. I mean, we don't see it anymore. We're too busy to look at it's easier to look up at, you know, CNN and find out what the weather's going to be tomorrow. You know, it's not like anybody goes out anymore and looks at, you know, people go out and look, but they don't see anything. You know, they don't see the importance. They don't see what's going on in the world and what's going on in nature and how it affects things. You know, we're so out of balance.
And it takes a lot to actually get into that balance. I had a Buddhist priest actually that I talked to quite briefly, and the Buddha beliefs still do study some of this. They still study nature. They try to believe in being one with nature and one with yourself. They studied animals for a lot of their practices and exercises throughout the years, along with several other cultures that are related to them now. And they have an outstanding culture that they've managed to keep intact during all the unification of other religions. Now, granted, most people look at them from afar because Well, they don't interact with everybody on a regular basis. If you ask your opinions, if you ask for an audience, if you go to their areas and you're interested, they're more than welcome to discuss it with you. But they don't go out of their way to share everything unless you come to them. Most cultures today have forgotten a lot of that. The Native Americans are kind of the same way. It took me 3.5 years to get into a Native American tribe and start to learn some of their ins and outs on their beliefs, and it's amazing culture. When you start getting in depth into their culture, you start realizing that they still believe a lot of things that most people don't.
Oh yeah. Yeah, a lot. The problem is nobody – we have this wonderful resource that we forget about. I mean, our native people that know more about this country than we will ever know, basically. I mean, we only know 200 and some years worth, 250 years, maybe give or take, is all we know. I mean, they've known this land forever. The land hasn't changed. We've changed. The people have changed. The environment's changed. But what they believe in hasn't changed. And here's a resource that we could very well need, and we ignore it. I mean, we ignore all this belief. We ignore everything that they could offer us. And we just cast it aside as nothing more than bullshit, basically. And that is probably one of the biggest mistakes we've ever made in this country. We've lost what this land could really have given us.
Hopefully somewhere along the line people will start to realize that again. I think that it would take a pretty major downfall and a step back in society because we rely so much on technology. Technology and science and so forth, when we started to advance that, and listeners, don't get me wrong, I'm technological myself. I spend a lot of times in universities, so I have absolutely no problem saying that it's very useful. But there comes a time when we have to understand that we're relying too much on these things. That if you have it all taken away tomorrow, ask yourself this: could you really survive? If everything was removed, if you lost your power, if you couldn't get water anymore, if you can't pick up your telephone to ask for help, could you really survive? The answer is 80% of America or above, no. Those are the things that that are very interesting to bring up. And I'm glad you came on the show, Christopher, because they're wonderful, wonderful conversations to actually have. Let's talk a little bit about what you do. Since we've got a history on you, let's talk a little bit about how these things can apply within the paranormal field, because I know a lot of people don't think about this, but it is a part of the paranormal, from the myth to the reality, as well as some of the other techniques that are still used that most people aren't aware are there. So let's talk a little bit about that, Christopher, and tell me a little bit about what you've ran into and how you apply it in your life, really.
Well, in the paranormal, the biggest mistake that I see, and it only comes down to how people get into it in the first place. I mean, they only know what they're told. There is no school on how to be, a paranormal investigator. It's more or less handed down. Well, my approach to it is, number one, when I go into a situation, whether it's I'm going down to Pennhurst, which is, just down the road from me, or I go to Gettysburg, or I just go into a cemetery for other uses. Before I go into it, there's certain procedures that you do as far as relating to the dead. You should always go in there with an offering. I mean, you're going into somebody's home. Granted, they're deceased and they don't technically live there, but they still occupy the residence. If they didn't, you wouldn't be calling me up in the first place. Same way with a cemetery. This is somebody's home. You wouldn't walk into my home and just kick open the front door and start yelling and screaming and banging around and demanding things of me because, you know, I knock you over the head. That's basically how I've seen some of the approach with people that go into situations like that. You know, you don't go into a place where there's a spirit or you want to investigate without going in there with some kind of humility. You walk in, you know, you address who you're looking for, you know, ask permission to come into it, you know, bring something along. Just like in the Caribbean practices, like voodoo and Santeria and Palo and things like that, where if you go into a cemetery, you leave a offering. In voodoo cemeteries ruled by Papa Legba, you know, you don't walk through the gate without an offering for Papa or the Baron Samadhi, who you know, is in control of the cemetery. You know, Papa Legba is an intermediary. He is in between the Loa and the living. Think of him more as like St. Peter standing at the gates. You don't get into the gates without going through St. Peter in the Catholic belief. So you would leave an offering for that. You would ask permission to come through the gates of the cemetery. The tradition is to leave silver dimes. Well, silver dimes are kind of hard to come by. So most people just leave dimes. Or you leave a bottle of rum, or you leave something that is an offering to one of these Loa that will grant you access into this and basically get you in there without any kind of harm. Same way goes into somebody's house. If you're going into a residence where somebody had lived before, you know, it doesn't hurt to go in there with something for them. You know, think of it as a peace offering. You know, here I'm coming into this place. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. Why is there a problem? You know, what are you trying to communicate to us about? And it's a nice gesture. You know, it's something that will relieve the tension when you go in there. I mean, so many people I've seen this and I've heard this where they go, oh, there's so much tension in here. Yeah, there's tension in here because you're stomping around their house. You know, there'd be tension if you were stomping around my house too. You know, think about what you're doing. You know, put a little bit of thought into this. Yeah, it sounds silly. It sounds stupid. But it would make it a lot easier if you would do these things. You know, like I said, that's the first mistake I see.
I think, you know, that comes from like you said, there's no textbook in all of this. And a lot of investigators today go off of the textbook of television, is what I like to call it. And don't get me wrong, again, listeners, when I talk about this, I have a lot of celebrities that are my friends that I've met. I've interviewed a few of them throughout this. And they work hard at their job. But television is not the real reality of the paranormal. Things like what Christopher just mentioned, for instance, are a common part of cultures for centuries. You had to give a gift to the gateway in Egypt in order to cross over from one side to another. In Roman history, you had to give gifts in order to get into the fields of Elysia. There are thousands of examples of this throughout cultural history, where you would honor the dead. In Mexico is another example. You honor the dead by leaving gifts out every year, or at least you used to. There's dozens of different examples of how people respect the dead that's out there. So it's it, it's not asking much, really, when you're talking about that, to do that in somebody's home. If somebody passed away in that home, you would think they're still there. And like you said, I would agree with that, actually. You tend to – excuse the term, listeners, when I say this, but you would tend to piss me off if you just came walking into my home and strolling around, knocking things around and making loud noises when I wanted you to be quiet.
Just think, say you're going to investigate a poltergeist, okay? You already got something that isn't in a good mood to begin with. And then you're going to come in there and really give it a bad day. And in return, it's going to give you a bad day. Uh-huh. It's like any kind of conflict. You want to defuse the situation before it gets out of hand. It isn't a battle. You're not going in there to battle anything. And to segue into something else about battling, it's the same way when everybody right away, it's a demon. Let me tell you what. I have a lot of knowledge as far as demons go. I consider myself a demonologist because I have worked with demons. I have used it in my practice. My practice is both sides. I use what is considered, for lack of a better term, which I hate these two terms, light and dark. It's not a matter of light and dark. It's a matter of balance. You can't have all good and not have anything bad. If you look at yin and yang, on the black side, there's white, and on the white side, there's a little bit of black. There has to be a little bit of good in with the bad. There has to be a little bit of bad in with the good. That's how the balance works. So to have constant creation, you would have nothing but stagnation in the world because it would overrun and it would choke itself off. You have to have some destruction as part of the balance. Look at the wildfires out in California. That's not always bad. Now, this is getting out of control, but if you look at the grand scale of things, there's been a lot of creation in California. There's a lot of encroaching onto property, onto land that belongs to the earth. Well, other than just having coyotes and bears in your backyard, which people complain about and then can't figure out why this is happening, maybe this is how the earth brings about its balance. It's creating some destruction to get rid of the creation that has encroached on it. It's getting rid of the stagnation. It's burning the undergrowth. It's burning the things that are not useful to it anymore.
Well, you poke something with a stick long enough, it pokes back. Even the earth is one big organism that works in conjunction with all the rest of it. And just like any organism, if you infect that organism with something, eventually the easiest way to explain it is those antibodies are going to fight back. A little bit of a brief pause. You're listening to BBS Radio. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, with Paranormal Truth and Reality. We're with Christopher, which is a wonderful individual, talking about a lot of different things from folklore and magical practice all the way down to what we're going to discuss here soon, Reiki, and we're also getting some pretty in-depth conversations on how this applies to the world today and the way we should actually be looking at it from time to time. If you're ever looking for a digital radio station, BBS is the place to go. BBS is one of the oldest digital radio stations in existence right now. They have a wonderful staff that'll take good care of you, so remember that. In additional news, don't forget the Marengo Flea Market here in Ohio. Marengo Flea Market runs 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have a ghost event actually broadcasting live, not this weekend, but next weekend, after we have a very special guest come on, hopefully when everything works out right. Haunted Hoorah here in Ohio is one of the largest haunted attractions across the state of Ohio, and Ashley, Brent and his team work very, very good every year to come up with a zombie team or something more exciting for everybody. This year is a theme zombie based with the military. Make sure that you stop in and see him every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from now through September. Cost is $20 per ticket, and they will be starting every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 to 9 o'clock. Christopher, let's get into a little bit of since we've been talking a little bit about everything, let's get a little bit into you mentioned demons earlier and positive and negative, and I think that's a good thing to actually bring up because everybody screams demon these days. I know that you probably heard it 1,000 times. I've heard it 1,000 times. It's all over the television, and I don't think people realize a little bit about what you're saying, and that is, regardless of whether you call it demon, good, evil, positive, negative, these things are black and white and not at the same time. They consistently have to work together, as you had mentioned. And I like to call it the unseen battle, if that makes sense. Because a lot of times we don't see these things and how they interact and what they're doing and so forth. But it's key to understand that it's not just the fine thin line that everybody thinks, hey, over here you got good and over here you got bad, and that's just the way it is. Sometimes those lines have to be crossed and are crossed on a regular basis. Does that make sense?
Sure. And people don't realize that. One of the things that I teach is chaos magic. And I'm not going to get into the basis behind that, but the way I look at it is, you know, you have what's called the eternal conflict, the eternal war, whatever. But let's get the religion out of it. Let's take out all the key players. Let's knock all this around and just look at what it basically is. It's creation and destruction that are constantly at a fight for balance. That is your eternal struggle. And that's the way it's going to be. And it's not. There's not going to be an Armageddon. There's not going to be all this. That's not going to happen. It's just the struggle between basically the universe and the Earth and everything else that's out there trying to maintain its balance. And there's never going to be an end to that. The conflict will always be there. At some point, one side's going to win because, let's face it, everything dies. There's nothing that lives forever. So at one point, destruction is going to take over, and it's just going to be the end of it. But until then, this is where the struggle is. This is the conflict. It's not good and evil. That doesn't exist. There is no such thing as good and evil in nature and in the cosmos. That's a human concept. We created good and evil. You know, if you look around you at nature, there is no evil. You know, nothing is evil. You know, people get this idea that it's evil, but out of everything that is evil in their eyes, there is some good in there. I mean, I keep going back to coyotes because, you know, that's something that is very misunderstood, along with bats and some of the other creatures that are carrion eaters. You know, they all get a bad rap. I mean, people are killing off coyotes like crazy. Well, why are you doing that? Oh, they kill sheep. No, they don't kill sheep. They only kill sheep that are sick. Coyotes don't hunt like that. You know, coyotes hunt for things that are disabled, that are sick. They only take the weakest of the herd. They only take the weakest of what's ever out there. They're not going to take anything. Coyotes have sat for 2 days until a moose had drowned in a lake, just waiting, because they weren't going to take it on while it was still healthy. They're carrion eaters. Same way with vultures, you know, crows, ravens. Those are all things that clean up after. They're the garbage cans of the earth. And everybody wants to kill them, and they don't realize how much things like that keep down disease. You know, if you get rid of everything that you don't like, there's going to be a lot more things that are worse, because you're taking away the things that get rid of the things you don't want. You know, they strip the bones. They get rid of the, you know, the disease goes with them, and it doesn't hurt them. They're designed to do that. They're designed to eat things like that. And you need things like that in the world. So things that are, quote unquote, evil as we look at them are not necessarily evil. Evil is our ideas. Evil is things that we brought into this world.
Human, you know, concept that, is human. It's actually an interesting and fascinating thing, but, and again, I don't think that a lot of people take enough time to pay attention to that. When you research into history, things like good and evil, right and wrong, these were all created as human concepts. And when I say this, I don't want anybody to misunderstand the way I'm explaining this. Right and wrong is a good thing. Right and wrong is understandable. We have to have rules in a society, and we have to understand when those rules are broken that situations have to occur. Good, bad, evil, even black and white are all things that we created to deal with these concepts, to create these rules involved. And sometimes those rules are a good thing. Sometimes they're it just depends on how you look at those individual rules, but some of them were put in place for the right reasons. Evil is a term that we designed very early on to explain those situations that were happening that were out of our control. Early society, listeners, if you ever do history, if you ever talk to a historian in a university, they'll explain this very clearly. Early society was a dangerous place. It was a cruel place. Humans did some very bad things. You lost people you loved. You lost things that happened to you. You may have even lost yourself somewhere along the line. So we had to explain this somehow, and that's where these words came from. That's actually a very good thing to bring up as well, Christopher, and a very interesting thing for people to understand. Because I like what you said there. Nature, as you explained it, there is no good or evil in nature. Everything has a balance and is designed for a specific reason. And that cycle comes and goes. And like you said, just in the universe, eventually all of that's going to happen again. Eventually one side is going to take over the other, and kaboom, it's all gone. But the way the concept is put together in most cultures, and there's a Filipino culture, again, that I had time to spend with that explains it this way, is, hey, when everything's said and done and it's all gone, you're going to have a rebirth out of that. And then the cycle just starts over again.
Right. You know, look, just even look at the Big Bang. The Big Bang was one big push of creation, one big massive explosion of creation. Even in that creation, there was some destruction. Things got damaged. Things got banged around. The Earth was hit how many times with things before it truly formed? I mean, that's all part of the cycle. You know, you can't have one without the other. You know, things have got to die in order for new things to come into place. That's just the way it is. You know, and people get this idea that, you know, everything that's bad has to do with demons. Well, do a little bit of research and find out where the root of that word comes from. It goes back to daemon, which is a Greek term, and its original meaning was anything that is not divine and is not of the earth. So it was that whole middle area in between us and what was considered divine. So that left a lot of grounds for a whole lot of things. You know, angels, what we call angels today, what we call demons today. That all fell into that area. You know, and
a lot of that came from unification, too. They took a lot of different cultures and a lot of different beliefs and combined it into what most people believe today. I'm not saying, by the way, in any way, shape, or form, listeners, not to follow the religions that you follow. It's great. I think religion is a wonderful thing. I think it's brought a lot of people together. I think it's a great thing. But when you do your history, you're going to find out that a lot of these things were combined into one unification and one story that we could understand. So a lot of times when you look into this, For instance, like you said, demon. Demon is a term that was created by man off of daemon, dabuk, delin, and several other different definitions at the time that were all explained basically as that thing in the middle. Because you had to have something. You had to have a positive and a negative. You had to have a good and a bad. You had to be able to explain a lot of these things. And early history had no explanation for it. So they used different terms that eventually combined into our term today that we call demons. I don't think a lot of people, Christopher, understand that. I don't think a lot of people take the time to actually become a historian themselves. I know I didn't. I had to go to actual historians and theologians and have them break it down to me.
Like I said, you know, that's part of my problem. I dig the further. You know, I go on, same way when I go on the computer and I go on Google. I'll search one thing, and then next thing, 2 hours later, I'm going in another. I'm down this rabbit hole. You know, thanks ADHD, whatever the hell you want to call it. But, you know, this is what happened. And it's amazing the things that you learn when you just let your mind open up a little bit and start looking and just questioning things. You know, I don't have a problem with religion, but like I tell everybody, you know, don't let your religion get in the way of your faith. Now, if you believe something, believe it. You know, put your heart into it. Don't sit there and you know, mess around and you know, blow it off and whatever. If it feels inside like it means something to you, then it's important. You know, it might not, you know, you might not be toeing the party line, but too bad. It's important to you. So that makes it important. So look at it and analyze it. Why are you feeling this way? You know, why do you question this stuff? If you question it, then find the answer. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely, you know, not. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I tend to point out the positives because religion and faith are, just so the listeners know, they're two different things. Faith can go along lines with religion, but faith is truly and wholly believing in what you're reading and searching for those answers. And it can be a wondrous thing, regardless of whatever you believe. It can be a wondrous thing. It brings people together. It unifies people. It gives a sense of well-being. But in the wrong hands, it can be a dangerous thing as well. So think of that every time that you go out and you talk to somebody and how you present yourself and so forth, because there's a place for all of it.
Sure. I mean, look at it this way. Faith, if you want to use, you know, esoteric terms, faith is God-given. You know, whatever your God is, that's what is given to you by your God, by your supreme being, you know, by whatever you believe in. That's what is given to you by them, okay? Religion is what's given to you by man. Religion is basically somebody explaining to you what their beliefs are. You know, what their beliefs are, not what your beliefs are. Now, your beliefs may fall in line with theirs, which is fine, but your faith might be someplace else. You know, you might feel something better, something else in your heart that you know, I don't agree with all this. And that's fine. Don't lose your faith. You know, you can have your religion, which is, you know, like you said, it's a good thing. It brings people together. It helps keep people, you know, active in the communities, you know, whatever. It's not necessarily a bad thing if it don't get out of hand. But don't lose your faith in it. You know, don't lose your faith in what you believe just because it doesn't toe the line. You know,
well, faith goes so much beyond. Everybody always relates faith with religion, but so that you're aware, faith goes very much beyond that. There have been people I have worked with for over 23 years. I have the utmost faith in their judgments. I have the utmost belief in what they can do. And they've been mentors for me for quite a number of years. And that's not a religion. That's my personal faith in the individuals. Faith is a wonderful thing. Again, it can be a dangerous thing. You can put your faith in the wrong area if you don't watch what you're doing and use your own human instinct. But too many people relate faith and religion and all of these aspects and terminologies together. And one thing that I always preach on RTP is go beyond that. Like you're saying, go beyond that. Do the research. Use your instinct. Believe what you want to believe, because ultimately it doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what you believe, what makes you a better person. Those are extraordinary.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're perfectly fine. The show's all about you, Christopher. If anything, I've been doing a little bit too much talking, so go ahead.
Yeah. I guess everybody, I'm nobody special. and that's how I approach this, you know. I'm never going to know everything. And anybody that tells you they know everything is a liar or they're lazy. Because once you stop learning, you might as well just give up. There's always something new out there. There's always something you don't know. I mean, the Earth has been around for, 4 billion years, give or take. I mean, as far as we can tell. Uh-huh. Now, don't tell me this is the only time that we've been around. I mean, 10,000 years? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's just a speck as far as how long we've been here. There's had to be, just on scientific thought, it just didn't happen this one time. We had to be here before. We had to. Just to play the odds, you know. So there's more out there. There's more to learn. There's tons of things that we don't know, and we'll never know everything. And for people to sit there and say they know it all, then no, you don't. You don't know a damn thing. You know, there's a lot of ego involved in what we do. There's a lot of ego involved with what I do, as far as, you know, my side of the paranormal. It makes me sick. That's the biggest thing that people have to do as far as, say, with investigating. You can't have an ego. You just can't. You have to go in there with some kind of humility, no matter where you go. Because if you go in there with thinking that you know everything, you're going to get knocked on your ass. Either mentally or physically, you know, things aren't going to work the way you want it to.
There's a lot of ego-driven things in the paranormal. I 100% agree there. I think because there's no rule book, and because we have so many fields that come into this, from the historical to the theological to the scientific to the research, there's so many different aspects that come into this. It's very easy for someone to become very ego-driven. Moral of the story there is, as you said, you can't have that ego interrupt what you can learn. And in return, you shouldn't interfere with other people's paths either. There's going to be a lot of theories that are out there. And some of those theories, yes, they can be disproven pretty quickly. We all know this. We've all done it. But how you handle that is very important on who you are as a person. Whether you believe or not that experience to that individual was real is beside the point if that individual felt it was. And that's something that's very, very important for everybody, every listener, and every paranormal investigator to take in mind every single time they do something. Because we run into that a lot. I don't know about you, Christopher, but I think I run into ego-driven maniacs at least 12 times a day.
I can't. Oh God, don't get me started. all you gotta do is just look on Facebook. there is so much that I see in on a day's time. I just kind of think, what are you people talking about? Where do you get these ideas? You know, there's so much of an illusion of grandeur to some of these people that it drives me nuts. It's like, who do you think you are? You know, you're nobody special. You're going to die just like everybody else. And in 20 years, nobody's going to give a damn.
Yeah, you're not really going to dent society. There's that less than 1% that leaves something behind that lasts a generation, and most people don't get to that less than 1%.
No. You know, don't look at what you can accomplish here. It's like, what can you accomplish that's going to go over onto the other side? You know, and I'm getting into beliefs and faiths and things like that. But, you know, where do you think the ancestors come from that people believe in? You know, where did you think all these saints and you know, all these gods basically came out of? I mean, these were people. You know, these were people that were looked up to by others that became sort of superhuman. I mean, these are like Batman and Superman that we look at. And you know, people collect comic books and that's where this all started from. You know, our ancestors are what we look to. You know, those are the ones that guide us.
At one point, that's all we had was story. At one point, listeners, in history, there was not a lot of writing. Only the overeducated wrote. So what we had to hand down were stories. A lot of times those stories created gods, they created heroes that were unstoppable. They created a lot of amazing things when you read into it and you start looking into mythology. But most of those myths were all based off of people. They weren't gods. They weren't superhuman. They were people. A prime example of that is Jason and the Argonauts, Hercules, Merlin. Even King Arthur himself, as we're finding out here later on, all of these people were built into a massive story that makes them legend. But if you were to actually find the person, would they really be that person? The answer is probably no. If you could go back into the history book and really meet Hercules, was Hercules the son of a god that was superhuman? Or was Hercules just a really big guy that got lucky?
No. And I'm going to step on toes. And I don't mean to, and this is all just part of the discussion. And please, people, don't burn me at the stake or come to my front door with pitchforks and
no, these are very, this is a very intellectual conversation. In fact, I've enjoyed it quite a lot. Paranormal Truth and Reality gets a lot of the technical in, but we don't have a sense of going into the history, going into other cultures and doing this very in-depthly. So I hope what listeners take from this is do your research, do your history, and keep your mind open. It's great to have your belief and support that belief because that's you. That's what supports it. That's what you want to believe. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that no matter what you believe. But understand the reality of history and also the realities around you because this is all a part of it. We've actually been narrowing down here, Christopher, to last roughly about a minute and a half to 2 minutes of the show. It's been a real pleasure and a wonderful conversation. You're always welcome back. We absolutely loved you tonight. Next week, if everything works out right, I'm going to have a member of Paranormal Profilers on, Peter Sacco's team. Peter Sacco has been getting some very renowned coverage across the United States and surrounding areas for his Canadian show, Paranormal Profilers. It's mostly on YouTube at this point, but there has been discussion that it's actually going to become on television air here in a little while, so it's going to be a wonderful discussion. I encourage everybody to listen to that. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We've had a very, very special guest that's brought some very intellectual conversations on tonight, and I certainly appreciate that. Christopher, is there anything that you want to add on where the people can find you? Do you have a website? Do you have anything that you promote yourself?
Right now, I just have my Facebook page, which is Papa Coyotes, and that's on Facebook. You can put it into, you know, your search engine, whatever, it's going to come up. My email, if anybody wants to contact me, is coyoterogue, one word, at gmail.com. And as far as, you know, if anybody needs to call me for questioning, whatever, everything is on my Facebook page. And you can all find it from there. That's where, you know, basically my life is.
Beautiful. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on. I'm going to leave our audience with what I tell everybody every single week, and that is, here in the paranormal, as you're noticing tonight, truth should always be the reality. So don't hesitate to go beyond that when you're doing your studies and create a belief that works for you. Make sure that when you share that belief, you do it with the kindness of understanding that everybody's personal journey is different. And that journey matters to each individual person. Regardless of whether you're a technical investigator that wants to teach people that ghosts are there and aren't there, or if you're more on the spiritual end and you just simply want to discuss those beliefs and how they intertwine in the paranormal, we can all work together. We can all discuss things logically, and we can all have conversations without getting upset at each other. This has been Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We'll be back next week. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.